You're listening to the Sabina Road Baptist Sermon Series. We hope this message greatly impacts your life. For more information on the mission and ministries of Sabina Road Baptist Church in Tucson, Arizona, visit us online at sabinaroad.org.
Absolutely. Great to be with you. Appreciate Pastor Russo asking me. I've gotten to know him a little bit. Great guy. Really appreciate Pastor Tim as well for the great job he does. And I like coming here. I tell you what, if I were here, I would be, Tammy, I would be your greeter. I would be the greeter guy, right? That's what I do. I greet people, you know, and I enjoy doing it. So I would know all your names, too. It's pretty neat to have a baby grand over here, and I really appreciate skilled musicians. Great, great group. Bob can play, and so I enjoy coming just to hear Bob. And one other guy, there's another guy, he passed, my friend Tommy Harper, played at Emmanuel. That guy's the bomb also. He died a few years ago. I love him. And so it's just good to have skilled musicians in the house. Great music. Good to be here with you today. My name is Edward Pearson. I serve with the Arizona Southern Baptist Convention. I handle discipleship evangelism for the Arizona Southern Baptist Convention. So greetings from Dr. David Johnson. He sends you his greetings today. And I work with a really honorable man. I just like this guy. He's a hardworking guy. We just moved our office this week, and there he is in the middle of picking up all the heavy stuff. I said, boss, maybe you should let us help so you don't break your back. So yeah, he did slip a disc or something, you know. That he's great, and I send you greetings. We thank you for your support. We thank you for your support in all of our church planting efforts around the state and all of our evangelism efforts. We have a goal of planting 500 more churches by 2028. So we have 1,000 functioning Arizona Southern Baptist, you know, evangelical churches. So we're pretty stoked about that. It's good to be with you, and I prayed about what to share today, and I'd like to share 5 biblical attitudes to pursue in 2019. And you know, I've got a chart here of things that people do pursue, and you can find these online, but this is what I found. The number one goal for most people is they want to exercise more, right? You can see them all up there. And if you exercise, you're probably going to lose weight, right? Number 3 would be get organized. This is my wife. She's like in the closet yesterday saying, I know what I want to do in 2019. I said, what? She said, I'm going to get this organized. I said, all right, good job. Learn a new hobby or skill. Live life to the fullest. Number 6, save money, spend less money. That would be wise. Quit smoking. Yeah, I absolutely agree with you there. Spend more time with family and friends. Travel more. Read more. A lot of good books out there. I encourage you to start reading more. I found out that most people don't read a book, a complete book, after they graduate from high school. You'll read newspapers, you'll read articles, but you don't sit down and just read a good book. So read a good book, all right? Read The Christmas Story by Dickens. We'll start there. Because Scrooge kept Christmas well all year long, right? I love Dickens. So, all right, there's food for thought. So the Bible suggests 5 biblical attitudes for you to thrive in 2019. You know, attitudes help us succeed in the Christian life. The wisdom literature is key when you think about biblical attitudes to follow. You have Psalms and Proverbs. The book of Proverbs is intended to do for the believer's daily life what the book of Psalms is intended to do for your devotional life. While the Psalms focus on the believer's worship, Proverbs focus on your walk with God, and your walk with God in the community of believers. In fact, those of you who study Proverbs and you really like it, you're called, there's a fancy name for this in theology, it's called parmiology, right? So like Parmesan cheese, right? But it's be a parmiologist, a study or a student of the Proverbs, which is a good thing to do, all right? So attitude. Attitude is a mental position with regard to a state or a fact, a conscious or mental outward behavioral attitude, according to Webster. So an attitude is like a mental posture that we assume as we go forward. It's You know, we all need a good physical posture, right? Right? We all need a good physical posture. But you want a good posture. You don't want your head. You want it back. That helps to align your spine. Gives you good balance, right? You look at these athletes. Look at their balance. Look at, you know, you can always tell somebody with good posture is just the way they walk. Like I saw some of you walking in, I thought, man, you have good posture. You have a good spine. You know, it's straight. You're balanced. You want to have that in life. So attitudes are like a mental posture we take with regard to a fact or a state. We all need it. And so we're going to ask ourselves daily, what posture should I take? What biblical posture should I take to fully engage the situation I find myself in? So first, we're going to walk this way. We're going to walk in the fear of the Lord. First, we're going to walk in the fear of the Lord. Proverbs 1:7 reads, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and discipline." And when it says knowledge, you could actually substitute wisdom in there. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. So what is the fear of the Lord? The fear of the Lord is taking God seriously enough to obey Him and stay within the boundaries He sets. That's what the fear of God is, taking God seriously enough to obey Him and stay within the boundaries that He sets. Ecclesiastes 12, 13 and 14 reads, "When all has been heard, the conclusion of the matter is this, fear God, keep His commands, because this is for all humanity. For God will bring every act to judgment, including every hidden thing, whether good or evil." Ecclesiastes 12, 13 and 14. So the end of the matter is fear God. Keep His commands. Jesus says in Luke 6, 46, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, when you do not do the things that I say?" Luke 6, 46. One who would advance in knowledge must be dialed into the reverence or the fear of the Lord. Look at verse 7 again. It says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." So faith here is seen as the foundation for reason. Stay with me here. Faith is seen as the foundation of reason. It's faith that enables reason to connect with reality. Faith is the beginning. It's the starting point of the Christian life. And we walk by faith. Amen. And there's some excitement here to walk by faith. It really is. So in the first half of verse 7, it says, so the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The first half is like a levitational pull in a sense. I mean, it just pulls you. If you're going to fear God, you're actually going to go up to the fear of the Lord. You're going to move forward. But notice the second right there. It says, fools despise wisdom and instruction. It's a gravitational pull. It pulls you down. So you're either going down or you're going up. You're not in the middle. You will make a decision. You'll either choose to fear the Lord as you go through a situation in your life, or you'll choose not to fear the Lord, and it will pull you down. And that's true. You've experienced it. I've experienced it. We must fear the Lord. Why? Well, there are blessings in fearing the Lord. Look at Proverbs 16:6. It said, "Wickedness is atoned for by loyalty and faithfulness." I think we've got a slide there. "Wickedness is atoned for by loyalty and faithfulness, and one turns from evil by the fear of the Lord." Proverbs 16:6. Psalm 111:10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and all who follow His instruction have good insight. His praise endures forever." Now, I think the lucky people today are sitting on this side, right? Because you can see out the window. Look out the window there. Do you still see the haze? See the cloud? Is it still there? Yeah? It's like the fog. So you can see this simple picture that I have here. There's something about the fog. When I thought about the fear of the Lord, imagine hiking in that today. Just getting up there. Really imagine just kind of getting up there and say, let's go. You know, the fog makes you pause, does it not? There's a sense of awe, a sense of, oh, what am I getting? What is this? You know, it's a little frightening, we could say. And when you talk about the fear of the Lord, you think of the fog, the fear of God, and you're actually entering the fog when you choose to fear the Lord and walk in the fear of the Lord. You enter into the fog. There's a sense of awe present. And I love to go to the ocean. I just love going to California. I get to go there each year. And as I'm there, I like to hang out and just watch it roll in. You know, watch the fog roll in. And I'm just thinking, oh man, it's like, what is in that fog? You know, but entering into the fear of the Lord That is a mental attitude. That's an attitude that we have to have that posture of entering into the fear of the Lord. So this year, we want to learn to enter into the fog, into the fear of the Lord in 2019. We want to walk this way, and we also want to walk this way. We want to walk in the trust of the Lord. We count on God to keep His word. That's what trust in the Lord means. We can count on God to keep His word. We go to the Lord for refuge. Psalm 46, verse 1 says, God is our refuge and strength, very present help in trouble. And the Hebrew nuance there is abundantly available to help in tight places. Have you been in a tight place since the new year started? Some of you? Right? There are tight places. God is our refuge and strength. You see Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 on the screen. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't rely on your own understanding. Think about Him in all your ways, and He will guide you on right paths. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust is learned. It's a posture, it's a mental posture that we assume and we take. All right, I'm going to fear the Lord. I don't know what's going on here, but I'm certainly going to take time to trust the Lord here. God, help me trust in You. I'm going to show you a video of Cheryl Avroni. A friend of mine took this video, and this is her story of trust in the Lord.
By American standards, I've lived a charmed life. I have a beautiful big house, married to an executive. I have a great job, and everybody just thought, wow, Cheryl's on top of the world. Confident kid, and I was a leader in everything that I did. But my father had a tendency to strip it from me. There was turmoil. When I was 21, my father took his life. That rocked my world. And then my youngest sister, about 10 years later, told us the secret that she kept for 11 years, and that was that my father molested my youngest sister for about 11 to 12 years. And when she came and told me that, I knew it, that he could do something like that to me. But fortunately, God spared me of that when I was a child. And then 2 years ago, my husband came home and said he wanted a divorce. I thought, wow, how am I gonna get through this one? But this time, this storm, I had Jesus. Jesus has just been there every step of the way. Night after night, I would sit in my family room with one lit candle and just talk. And He just showed me so much and told me that He was going to bring me through this, which He did. And He was going to restore my confidence, which He did. Jesus can take whatever the situation is, and with His power and His power alone, He can just make it work for the good. My confidence is in Jesus. And this time, nobody will ever take it away from me. He's been my rock.
Amen. So we're going to trust in the Lord. We'll assume the mental posture, the attitude of trust in God, even when the storms of life come in around us. And they do crash. And they will crash on us, all of us. Man, woman, boy, or girl. They all crash in around us each year. And so we want to fear the Lord. We want to trust in the Lord with all of our heart. Cheryl trusted God in the good times and certainly in the hard times of our life. So there's a blessing of trusting the Lord. Psalm 147, verses 10 and 11 says, He is not impressed by the strength of the horse. He does not value the power of a warrior. Just read it. Where's your hope? Where's your faithful love today? So we're going to learn to trust the Lord in 2019. We're going to fear the Lord. We're going to walk this way also. We're going to walk in humility. Humility, voluntarily taking the position of lower importance or lesser privilege before God and others and deferring to them. We're just going to take a lower position, a lesser privilege, and we're going to defer. We're going to humble ourselves and come under authority, under leaders. Even if we think we're a better leader, we're at least going to help them learn to lead and learn to lead well. We're going to assume a position of humility. Proverbs 11:2, when pride comes, disgrace follows, but with humility comes wisdom. Matthew 23:12, whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. You know, humility doesn't mean we think less about ourselves. It's just we think about ourselves less often, right? That's it. It's normal to think about ourselves. I'm thinking here. If you're born after 1980, you won't know this. But if you're born before 1980, this will probably make sense. There's a singer, Mac Davis, and he wrote this song about humility. Let me say a line. If you know the word that I'm leaving out, go ahead and say it. And let's just baffle all the people under 40 here, okay? Let's dominate them with the radio, all right? Oh, Lord, it's hard to be when you're in every... I can't wait to look in the... Because I keep get better each day. To know me is to love me. I must be, you know, a great catch. Oh, Lord, it's hard to be humble, and I'm doing the best that I... Let's all sing. I ran this by my wife. My son was in the room last night when I did this, and he just looked, what's wrong with you people? He does not know this. And that's the antithesis, right, of humility. I mean, he actually has a line in there about his girlfriend. She can't compete with him because he's so good looking. It's just hilarious. I read the whole song. I thought, are you kidding me? I still remember that song on the radio. You know, many professional athletes today, unfortunately, show this lack of humility. I don't think they have always shown lack of humility, but it seems like they really do today. They forget that they're one play away from their career's ending, right? They're one play. Give me the ball. They tell everybody, I want the ball. Well, just, you know, when they throw it to you, catch it, no matter what the sport. We need a greater humility today. The Christian, an attitude that we pursue, is we assume the posture of humility. Proverbs 15:33 says, the fear of the Lord is what wisdom teaches, and humility comes before honor. Proverbs 15:33. So lean into humility in 2019. We're going to fear the Lord, right? We're going to trust in the Lord, and we're going to lean into humility. We want to be humble people. And next would be teachability. We're going to be teachable. Able and willing to be taught and to learn. Able and willing to be taught and to learn. Humility helps us because humility is before teachability, which I think is smart, because if you're in a posture of humility, instruction comes typically in the form of correction. You're able to receive it, and you're able to do it, right? You're able to be taught. So you have to ask yourself, are you teachable? And really, no matter what your age, are you teachable? I had a fellow a few years ago come up to me, and I like this guy. He said, so, and he got to ask you a question. I said, yes, sir. He said, are you open to advice? I've never had anybody ask me that, right? Are you open to advice? I always have people tell me the way it is. Tell me what to do. My parents, that's what we do as parents. This is what you got to do. You know, we always tell people what to do, but he said, are you open? And I got to think, and I thought about it for, I don't know, for like 10 seconds, you know? It was like quiet. And my answer was, from you, I am. Because I've watched this guy's life. He said, I'm open to it from you. He said, I would really encourage you to do this. Because if you don't, this is what you can expect. And I thought, well, that's a wise man. I will do what he says. And you know, I did, and it all worked out. So guess who I go to for advice and help? I go to this guy. He lives a few hundred miles from here, but I'll hang out with him and say, okay, help me here. All right, this is where I'm at. He has wisdom. He walks in the fear of the Lord, and I know he does. He's humble. He trusts the Lord. He's teachable. Are you teachable? Well, there's an animated movie. I usually don't show two videos, but I thought this is perfect here, all right? Especially if you're, you know, if you like animated movies. Surf's Up. Cody gets a lesson. These are penguins. Cody gets a lesson in how to shape a surfboard out of a piece of wood using one simple tool. And I want you to watch this short clip. I want you to ask yourself, is Cody teachable? Is he teachable? Okay, was Cody teachable? He was trying to be, but you know, he needs a lot of patience, and you know, the surfer master there probably could help a little bit more, right? Well, are you teachable? Are you willing to listen to counsel and advice so that you may be wise the rest of your days later in life? Are you teachable? I still remember my dad was a ninth grader. He said, really want to encourage you to do this, son. I said, what's that? He said, you know, I was hoping you might say build a house, you know, own a business. He said, learn typing. He said, you nuts? I said, yeah, right. Well, I didn't. I didn't take typing. You know, I've learned to type. I have learned. I've typed thousands of pages. That's one bit of advice I wish I had taken. My daughter can type 120 words a minute. My wife. Me and my son. How I wished. You know, I give my kids advice, and sometimes they do the same thing to me. Yeah, right, Dad. So will you take a teachable posture in 2019? Will you walk this way? Will you listen to counsel, receive instruction? Number five is patience. Patience is an attitude that we really want to grapple with. Bearing pains and trials calmly, without complaint, not hasty or done without care. You know, patient people can take a breath, a deep breath. Patient people are able to take a long view towards things because they're patient. Raising a family takes patience. It really does. Navigating your debt takes patience. It really does. Developing reliable friendships takes time and patience. Things take patience. We don't want to be hasty. We want to do things without complaining. We've got to have some patience. Proverbs 19:11 says a person's insight gives him patience, and his virtue is to overlook an offense. Are you able to overlook an offense? Or do you just hold everything against everybody? Just let it go. Let some things go, you know, and move forward. We've got to be patient. There's a blessing in patience. The plans of the diligent certainly lead to profit, but anyone who is reckless certainly becomes poor. That's Proverbs 21:5. The plans of the diligent, they lead to profit. Not necessarily financial profit, but at least a profit in relationships, profit in a lot of areas of life. But anyone who is reckless, you will become poor. So watch how you spend your funds. Endgame. Bob Buford is the author of Halftime. Great book, by the way. What to do when you retire, or what to do before you retire. He says, you really ought to take four views as you look at life. He said, look at them from the perspective of a quarter, like an athletic game. The first quarter is birth to 20 years of age. Second quarter is 20 to 40. Third quarter is 40 to 60. Fourth quarter is 60 to 80 plus years, if God blesses you past the year 80. God bless you. Time is a gift. And the idea is that we want to use our time wisely in this life. Situations in life continue to reoccur often enough. In Proverbs, the wisdom literature can help us name them, size up the situation, give guidance, and know which posture that we need to assume at that moment. At that moment. So, you know, when you have children, and we've all been children, we all go through the terrible twos, right? When we get that, they're 2 years old. Well, we deal with it when they're two. It's not so funny when they're 12, when they're 22, when you're 32, 42, 52, 62, 72, 82, and beyond. It's not that funny anymore. We've got four quarters in life. We want to target the five attitudes to live a life of developing wisdom. Wisdom taught and received in the fear of the Lord is the primary goal for people. Wisdom taught, wisdom received in the fear of the Lord, that's our goal. We really want to be people. We want to be wise men and women, wise boys and girls. You want to walk with wisdom. The fear of the Lord sets the direction and the boundaries in which success occurs. So today or this week, when you come across a situation and you realize, well, I know this is the boundaries that God has set. If I choose this way, I step outside of these boundaries. If I choose this way, I step inside His boundaries. I stay inside the fear of the Lord. And that's a good place to be, to walk inside the fear of the Lord. So we're going to fear the Lord. We're going to trust in the Lord. Fear the Lord. Trust in the Lord enables us to stay within the boundaries, even when it's hard. We stay within the boundaries that God has set. Humility prepares us to be ready to learn, likely to be. You know, people that are humble, you want to be around, and you want to choose them to be on your team. And if you're a humble individual, you will be hired. People want to hire humble people. They really do. Your employer is going to notice that you're humble. They're going to bring you on, especially if you have smarts, if you have some competence in the area in which you're hired to do. You do move up. Humble people. Teachability enables us to choose better ways because we learn. And patience enables us to achieve a harvest in life because we avoid pitfalls and traps, because we take the long view, we take a deep breath, and we move forward with these five attitudes. So I want to encourage you today to consider adopting these five biblical attitudes, this posture, as you go throughout life. We're going to fear the Lord. We're going to trust the Lord. We're going to walk in humility. We're going to be teachable. And we're going to have patience. We all need this as individuals. We need this as a corporate body of believers in the local church. We need this in our communities. We need this in our politics, right? We need this today. But let's start here. Let's start with ourselves. You know, you point your finger, point at the guys in the back there. You point your finger, but whenever you point your finger, you got three fingers pointing right back at you, right? This guy, right? Well, look at yourself first. So I encourage you to consider the fear of the Lord today. Do you fear the Lord? Do you fear God? Have you bowed the knee? Have you placed your faith in Christ? Francis Collins led the Human Genome Project. I mean, these are some bright men and women to figure this out. And he grew up atheist. And he said, you know, after learning all the science that I've learned, everything, he said, I see an intricate design and order behind the human body, behind the universe. He said, there has to be something there. So he became a theist. And now he actually knows the Lord. He's a Christian man. So I tell you what, people fear the Lord in all walks of life. So I encourage you to enter into the fog, enter into the fear of God today. Give control of your life over to Christ. Jesus suffered. He died for you. For God so loved the world in this way that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. Jesus suffered and he died, and in power he arose again from the dead. So he has the power and the authority to forgive you of your sins and to give you a new life in Christ. So maybe you're looking for a church home today. We encourage you to, man, hook up here. Hit your saddle up here, right? I was trying to sound Western. It didn't come out right. I'm thinking of Clint Eastwood here for some reason, you know. He would hitch his horse up or something, right? But join us here. We would love to have you a part here of Sabina Road Baptist Church. So really want to challenge you to target these five attitudes and live a life of developing wisdom. Because if you don't, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, the beginning of wisdom. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. If you don't, you will be pulled down and you will not be wise. The Bible says you will be more foolish in life. You don't want to be. So let's pray. God, you are good to us. Cause your face to shine upon us, O Lord. We're grateful for your word. And Lord, I know that Sabina Road will be having a Bible reading program here, a plan for 30 days, which is outstanding. And in order to grow in these five biblical attitudes, you got to be in the Word. You've got to read your Bible. You've got to read it consistently. So I pray for this group here today that they will set some goals for themselves personally and for a church to read the Bible through. And Lord, I pray and ask that you would help us to walk in the fear of the Lord, that we would enter the fog, we would live for you, we'd stay within your boundaries, and we would walk this way with trusting you, with humility. We would be teachable people. We would certainly be humble people. We would be patient people, oh Lord. Help us to walk this way in 2019 and beyond. We pray this and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.